Well, this is the season. This is the season of Google Calendar alerts. Has anyone else noticed that? Every morning and afternoon, I get alerts for the Jewish and Christian holidays. They appear on the upper right corner of my screen. It's Pesach or Passover day one. It's Maundy Thursday. It's Good Friday. It's Pesach day two, and so on and so on. This is the season of Google Calendar alerts. The ancients were reminded in a wholly different manner. Thank goodness for them. For the Jewish people, the word would spread orally from the temple priests. Then the shofar, the ram's horn, would be blown, and its still small voice would echo through the city of Jerusalem. As each of the three paschal lambs were brought for sacrifice, one after the other to the temple, the lambs representing their people's deliverance from Egypt would be slaughtered, and the lives of these dear animals given to Yahweh, the righteous, the deliverer from evil, as they understood. Terry, what did you say was the Spanish phrase for Easter? Felices Pascuas. So we believe it comes from that, from the paschal lamb, from the sacrifice, which in the Christian tradition is understood as Jesus. But more on that later. So Google didn't know back then, but every Jewish soul knew when the shofar blew that it was a time of remembrance and a time of gratitude for this gift, for this tender, this challenged life. And as the story goes, when Jesus, who was, as I understand him, a Jewish teacher, leader, prophet, when he heard the ram's horn blowing from the temple and prepared with his disciples the Jewish feast of Passover, he was preparing himself for the sacrifice. He had been called a criminal, a rebel by the usurping authority. He was hunted by the empire's assassins. He would be crucified. So when he poured the wine for the Passover feast, each of the four glasses that would be ritually drunk with the ritual meal, perhaps he saw in its brilliant red a reminder of his own tender, challenged humanity. Perhaps he saw his impermanence, to bring in the Buddhist thinking. Perhaps he saw his imminent death. Perhaps he even said aloud, "This is my blood." A shofar would be blown, and its still small voice would echo through the town, calling the people, calling the prophets, the teachers, the children, the adults to remembrance, just as our bowl calls us to remembrance, to a remembrance of violence, to remember all the tender, challenged lives lost in this world. We are not all that different than those sandal-clad desert dwellers. We too come together to pull, as our chalice lighting mentioned, some beauty, some grace, some gratitude, some hope from the mud and muck of this life. But what do we make of their stories? Of their stories, the shofar listeners and the followers of Jesus. What do we make today of the story of Easter, a story of crucifixion, of death, and of resurrection, we are told? What do we make of this? The following is extracted from an Easter sermon by the Reverend Michael McGee. It's adapted from a story by Jim Wallace. It goes like this. A group of friends of various religious denominations were seated in fellowship discussing the true meaning of Easter one Sunday when the Baptist said, "I believe we place too much emphasis on chocolate bunnies, colored rabbits, and Easter eggs instead of the spiritual aspects, which is the real meaning of Easter. That's what I believe," said the Baptist. "Me too," said the Methodist. "Me too," said the Lutheran. "Me too," said the Catholic. "Me too," said the Nazarene. And the Unitarian Universalist was silent. I believe the real meaning of Easter is that Christ died on the cross for our sins, said the Methodist. Me too, said the Nazarene. Me too, said the Lutheran. Me too, said the Baptist. Me too, said the Lutheran. And the Unitarian Universalist was silent. And it continued in the same way, in the same vein, with these prompts. I believe the real meaning of Easter is the triumph of Jesus over the grave. I believe the real meaning of Easter is that all people who believe in sacrifice and resurrection are cleansed of original sin through baptism and are restored to the favor of God, and many share in his eternal life. I believe the real meaning of Easter symbolizes that the bodies of all people will be resurrected and joined to their souls to share in their final fate. And the Unitarian Universalist was silent. The group then turned to their Unitarian Universalist friend, whom they all recognized as a little strange, and said, Your silence is a mystery to us. Just what do you believe, as a Unitarian Universalist, is the real meaning of Easter?" This ends our excerpt. The reading does go on. The Reverend Michael McGee does give his answer. I have a different one. And it will take the rest of this sermon, if not the rest of my life, to get there. So bear with me. Passover and Easter happen in this time of year for a reason. It also happens to be that this is the New Year time for South Asian Buddhists. This is a time of resurrection, of newness, the world around. I was in Israel in April 5 years back. The desert was in bloom. I remember the hollyhocks most, the tall, slender, but sturdy stems reaching 6 feet into the air. They were graced by the paper-thin petals of pastel flowers, each a resurrection in itself. The rains had come and heaved life from its parched slumber. It was once dry, but now it is animated. It was once lost, but now it is found. Nearly every culture has a celebration in the season of rain. Nearly every culture, the season of new growth. As nearly every person, perhaps every animal too, has laid claim to the green time as a time of salvation. Heck, perhaps every plant, right? That time when life comes back. And yes, all the stories, all the myths, they are somewhat complementary. They celebrate this deliverance. They announce resurrection. They say thanks for the reminder of life. But each story and each myth is also inherently individual. They all have their own particular aspects. From our time for all ages, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor for their individuality. Not love your neighbor for being like you. So our faith, our Unitarian Universalist faith, invites us to recognize the similarities in the traditions that we study, but also to dive deep into the differences, into the diversities that make each tradition unique. Each tradition was born to solve a real and individual problem in the lives of real and unique people. We may be challenged. We may be challenged by the theological claims, the layers that are placed over the Easter story. But the story might still speak out of its particular history to our souls. It might still speak. So let's look very deeply. Let's look deeply at the Easter story today. I chose our poem, our reading, because I love it. Because it is a Palm Sunday, a Jesus poem, but also because it challenges me. Did it challenge you? It challenges me because it is steeped deeply in the Christian perspective, and it challenges me further with the lines about the scatterer. Do you remember those lines? Lines exploring the way that we are driven often away from one another, often even away from our own souls. It goes, because the scatterer has overtaken us, betraying our promises, estranging lovers, tearing us inwardly and tearing us apart one from another. Some might anthropomorphize the scatterer. The scatterer could be a name for the devil. I don't do that. I don't need to imagine a being. Humanity is limited. Simply, we are limited, and our hubris, our fear, our limitations are enough to scatter us, tearing us inwardly and apart from one another. That's all we need to do that. While Jesus rose as a prophet and a teacher, division was gripping and scattering the Jewish people. Their ranks were in a tussle. There were Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, there were zealots, and each was certain that the others were wrong. Certain. They had lived in relative peace for years, but during Jesus' time, their strife grew and enveloped their purpose. Why? Why would infighting suddenly happen? Because they were living in fear. They were not in control. A foreign empire had taken over. They were not yet slaves, but they were not wholly free. They were being taxed, they were being torn, they were forced to be torn in some ways from one another. Groups began to emerge, striations, classes, divides. You might recognize some of these same striations in their society, in ours today, these same divides from today's headlines. They were the rich being separated from the poor, the healthy being separated from the sick, the locals being separated from the foreigners, the women being separated from the men. I recognize this. Do you recognize this? Recognize this in today's headlines? Why? Why was this happening then? Why is it happening now? Scattering is a tool that the powerful use, whether they are aware that they are using it or not, to maintain their power, to maintain their control. Infighting serves empire as it serves democracy. Infighting serves power. If we remain separated, we are easy to rule. The less we love our neighbor as themselves, the less we love our neighbor as themselves, the less power we have to affect change. Jesus grew up in this world, this scattered and scattering world, and Jesus, as I understand him, understood empire, power, and control. So when everything and everyone around him called for division and retreat, he improbably said, "Love your neighbor and turn the other cheek." He, as the story goes, was an original nonviolent resistor, resisting division, gathering up all the souls scattered to the winds, the ghettos, the rail cars, the detention centers, sitting with the reviled, sitting with the rejected, and all the while teaching the Sadducees and the Pharisees alike, teaching the deliverance of togetherness, the salvation of love. I wonder, am I hearing that voice today? I have heard it, still, silent, quiet, just like that shofar, echoing through our towns. I have heard it. I need to hear it more boldly. There are silent resistors. There are nonviolent resistors. There are lovers, loving their neighbors as themselves among us. They are here today, I believe. So then, what does the Unitarian Universalist say? What does the Unitarian Universalist say when her brethren, when her sistren in the Christian faith ask, just what do you believe is the real meaning of Easter? Just what is it? She looks around the world spinning in headlines, bursting forth with great bombs in stark deserts. She sees the tears of the refugee waiting in a boat beyond a friendly shore, and she sees the words scrawled on the UCC church in Fairfax. Those words, "Muslims go home." She sees swastikas scrawled on the Jewish community center. And she knows that the scatterer is hard at work, tearing us one from another. And she believes that this must be what Jesus saw. How else could he hone such a beautiful message of love, such a necessary message of inclusion, of forgiveness, of grace? She recounts the story quietly, not as if it were a proclamation, but as if it were the still small voice of the shofar calling us not to certainty, but to remembrance. The story. It is said that 3 days after Jesus died, he was resurrected. It is said that death couldn't hold him down, and she knows that there's truth in that because she believes that the Holy is still speaking. Perhaps the Holy is still speaking because there was once a people united in love, drawn together, and that they are forever transformed. Perhaps the resurrection is a story not about a personal savior, but about a political savior, a savior of the relationships that tie us each to all. Perhaps we will be transformed every time we see one another reach out our hands to gather back the scattered hordes, to give them a home. Perhaps that transformation that we have felt watching works of love, perhaps that transformation never dies. Perhaps once it's gripped us by our souls, we never let it go. Perhaps that is the resurrection and the life. And of that, we must never be silent. Amen.